What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Haunted Hole Podcast. It's Willie Paul sitting down with Pastor Brandon back in his renovated Zoom background bookshelf.
Thank you.
How long did it take you to do those all those cabinets and everything?
Man, I've read every single book on these made-up shelves that don't really exist.
Wow. What was your favorite one?
Actually, my favorite one is the Farrington football helmet right here.
That's your favorite book, is the football helmet?
Yeah, there's a book in the football helmet.
Ooh, secret.
Yeah.
I like it.
Right.
Anyway, hey, we've got some cool stuff happening here at Metro. One of them just happened this past Sunday, and that was the Pastor's Kitchen. Tell us about that.
Yeah, that was a good time. We had some technical difficulties with it, but we had it recorded. We actually have it up on our YouTube and our Facebook right now. We did some cooking. My dad did some, at the time, live demonstration of cooking salmon with the cream sauce and grilling some steaks and with some rosemary and goodness. Mediterranean couscous was really good. Just a way to connect with you, the online Ohana. You could ask some questions during the live and all that kind of stuff. If you want to check it out, you can see those links, again, on our YouTube or on our Facebook page. We have those things already cooking in there for Pastor's Kitchen.
Ooh, already cooking.
Maybe doing some more.
I saw what you did.
You're welcome. And on the flip side, another cooking pun, we're just looking at connecting more with you, whether in person or online. We're excited for what God has going on here at Metro.
So good stuff. Yeah, we've got a lot of stuff coming up, like Alive this Friday. Very, very excited. It's going to be really good. Metro Kids being back, Connect groups, everything that's going on. You can find out more about it at our website, metrochristianchurch.com. And I'm really just excited for what God's doing in our church right now. Speaking of what's going on right now and looking forward to things, this past weekend you gave a message about heaven.
Heaven.
And I wanted to ask, if you haven't watched, wait, did you do this online and in person? Because I wanted to ask how long it took you to do that opening bit with all the different songs.
Oh, man, it was fun. It was really fun. So if you haven't seen the message yet, go and check it out on the website. Just there's so many references to heaven in pop culture, and whether it's in art or in media, but even in music. So just referencing a lot of secular songs to talk about heaven, whether it's Don't Take Away My Heaven or anything like that. There's all these songs that talk about heaven. So old songs, new songs. It just goes to show that I think as a culture, society, we're thinking about heaven, maybe not in the biblical sense, but just in this idea of all my hopes and dreams and wishes coming true, which is what we think heaven is. So it was a good time.
Yeah, I thought it was really fun. You referenced like Tom and Jerry and all that when he gets hit too hard with the hammer on the head and then like he floats up and there's like the elevator to heaven.
Escalator.
Man, that's whenever people talk about heaven, I always think about stuff like that or like those old Renaissance paintings where there's those like creepy babies with like harps and stuff. Dude, I don't know if you've ever seen, but if you look at their faces, it's not baby faces. It's like an adult face on a baby body. Just like, ooh.
Yeah, it's meant to be like a cherubim or something like that. And you know, what the funny thing is whether it's Tom and Jerry and cartoons or Renaissance paintings or jokes that you would tell at a party, you know, about heaven, St. Peter and the pearly gates is, we as a culture have like this loose relationship with what heaven is or could be or should be. So it's no wonder that when you say, so what do you think heaven's like? People have all kinds of answers.
Yeah, because within the span of a minute, you referenced pulled lines from like 7 songs, maybe, that just talk about heaven.
Nine.
I wasn't counting, but I was impressed.
And there were more. I had to cut some out because there's too much. So.
Yeah, I bet. But it was, and that was really fun. But I wanted to ask Pastor Brandon, you got into what heaven looks like biblically. You talked about, the misconceptions that we have and then the reality of what the Bible talks about. I want to ask, what is like the part about biblical heaven that you're most excited about?
Well, jokingly, the most exciting part to me is eating the finest wines and choicest meats and all this kind of stuff. I think that's the part where it's like, if we think heaven is just we're going to be on harps and on clouds, then it's not very enticing. And it's not something that we really look forward to. But if we think about this idea that heaven isn't just in the clouds, but rather, as the message ends up saying, as the Bible ends up saying, it's a new heaven and a new earth. The thing that's most intriguing to me is this idea of the restoration of all things. You know, we don't talk about this enough. We just kind of assume, you know, you believe in Jesus, you go to heaven, right? That's kind of where the story stops. Mm-hmm. The story ends in heaven in the clouds. But man, reading into this message, doing more research into it, learning more about it, there's so much richness about the new heaven and the new earth and coming down out of heaven, that this whole earth that we live on, this planet that we live on, would be restored. That's kind of interesting. If you think about enjoying everything that's around us in its fullness, not in the brokenness that our world has or that people as we have. So this concept of from Eden to Eden, this huge meta narrative arc, Garden of Eden to the new Eden, is so deep. And I think even this past weekend, we just scratched the surface on the topic of what that is and its implications and what it means for us. So honestly, really, to me, that's the most intriguing part, is what is it? What does the world look like restored? And what does it mean for us to be living for eternity on a restored earth?
Yeah, I actually love that. I think that's so compelling. I was talking about at Alive Alive for the week after Easter. We're kind of doing like a little Easter message. And I was kind of touching on this subject where we often get stuck in the Bible being like separated into the different sections and the different scriptures and everything. But then we have to remember that there is one story that's running from the front to the back. And that's that God had a plan and that he is restoring that plan. And that through Jesus, we get to enter into that story. I think I've talked about this with you for a little bit, but I think that humans are just, everything that we do is about a story. Like, it's how we live our lives is like the different stories that go on around us. And like, I just think that's so compelling to see the story that God has been telling since the beginning. And like, we often see heaven as like down the road, as you were just saying, like a, I'll figure it out when I get there kind of thing. But when we read what Jesus taught his disciples, it was that like, I've heard it described as a now, not yet, where it is the kingdom of heaven is here right now, but it's also not yet kind of in fullness.
Yeah. Yeah.
And like, we get to work with restoring. So we get to work with God, partner with God to restore what he wanted here on earth.
Yeah. 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 I think it's a really intriguing part about working with God and restoring those things. So it's both now in this life, but then also in eternity. We don't lose sight of the fact that when we do die, we do go up to heaven, so to speak, to be with God. But when Jesus returns, we're coming back with him. And that's kind of an interesting thing. I mean, if you think about this idea of us ruling over this new creation with God.
Yeah, pretty crazy. I think about, I've been gardening a lot. And I have these little tomato plant that's finally growing tomatoes. And it's like, I don't know, it's growing the tomatoes, but now it's like dying as it's growing the tomatoes.
That's weird.
So if you have any like tomato gardening advice, hit me up. but like, I think about the Garden of Eden, and if you read Genesis, I think it's Genesis 2, where God is like, okay, you're going to work the garden and like keep it. And then in Genesis 3, after the fall, God curses mankind. And he says like, basically growing things and everything will be a struggle now.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, man, in heaven, I'm never going to have to worry about my tomato plant dying. It's just always going to be growing tomatoes.
You think about all the things that we as people struggle through, and you know, whether it's, you know, the difficulties of gardening, or just think about the difficulties of our human body, and limitations that we have. I surfed yesterday for a little bit, and I got really tired because I didn't get enough sleep the night before, and the waves weren't even that great. And I imagine in heaven, those things, those weaknesses, you know, I think about all the promises that scripture holds and how they're fulfilled in God's fullness. So even the scripture that our church is founded on, Isaiah 40:31, you know, those who hope in the Lord renew their strength, they'll run and not grow weary. you know, they're walking out, be faint, mount up with wings like eagles. Could you imagine what that would be like? Just to enjoy creation, to serve God, and not have to be bound by the limitations of what are frail bodies, you know, even in its supposed health, let alone sickness. And some of you who are watching or listening to this, you know the realities of what infirmity feels like. In heaven, you know, there is, with our resurrected bodies, all of these shortcomings are no longer. So rather, it's the fullness of what God does in us, because now we're in his presence. So I think that's the promise that awaits for us. So much more than a harp and a cloud, you know?
Yeah. So much more than just like a personal ice cream machine or something. It's this overall sense of like fulfillment. Yeah. And all of that. And I think that's awesome. And then not even to mention the fact that in the beginning, before the fall, God walked among his people, like not metaphorically, not poetically, but literally God was walking among Adam and Eve. And just I think of the story in Genesis 3 where they sin and God walks to try to find them. He's like, hey, where are you? And I just think, like, man, when everything is restored, when there's the new heaven and the new earth, like, it's not going to be the difficulty of, is God listening? Is he there? Is he far off? Is he distant? Does he care about me? It's going to be, God is, like, my next door neighbor.
Yeah.
And I think that's, like, something that is kind of often overlooked as well.
Yeah, that God's presence will be there. You know, Revelation 22, the very end of the Bible, talking about this new heaven, new earth, the new Eden, the new Garden of Eden coming down, and this garden that's like a city. So it's almost like where the entire earth is the city. If you're a Star Wars fan, it's like Coruscant. It's just the whole planet's a city. It's this idea that when it comes to heaven and this garden, what does that look like for us when God is actually among us? And it says that we won't need the sun because he will be our light. You know, because he's surrounding us with his presence, just his brightness is because he's there with us, you know? So I find that just really intriguing. But, you know, all of this, you know, thoughts and what the Bible talks about as far as future reward, as good as it is, you know, while the Bible does talk about all this stuff, it talks so much more about preparing for it, you know, and being ready for it. You think about scriptures that weren't mentioned in this past sermon, but the ones that my dad did last week about the five virgins, you know, it's, are you ready? Like, are you going to be ready when this actually happens? Because as great as heaven's going to be, unfortunately, not everybody gets there, because the actions that we choose in this present reality determine what our lives look like into eternity. And I think when it comes to heaven, we'd be remiss to think that everybody and anybody goes there. You know, while there are some current thoughts about how the gates are wide open to anyone, the Bible doesn't say this. It actually talks about this idea that Jesus is the way and the truth and the life. And there's actually one way to get there. And it's because it's through believing in Christ. So I think for those of us that are listening, we need to consider, as great as heaven is going to be, how do we know that we're going to be there? Mm. And if you've ever wondered if you're going to be in heaven in eternity, reigning with Christ, then really what it comes down to is if you believe in your heart that Jesus died for your sin, that he rose again, you know, and you confess that with your mouth. Romans 10, 9 and 10 says that we will be saved, because it's with your mouth that you confess and it's with your heart that you believe. So if you're someone who says, you know, I wonder if I'll be in heaven because of all the things that I've done or things that I've did, it's the answer is, well, you'll be in heaven if you just put your faith in Christ, because that's really what it boils down to. And everything else that we could put our faith in doesn't really hold any water as far as eternity is concerned in comparison to Jesus Christ. So hopefully that's some assurance for some of us if we're not sure if we'll be in heaven. And also it's a wake-up call that we should be putting our faith in Christ. Something that I said in this past message was, if heaven was a club, so to speak, and there's a cover charge, the cover charge is the blood of Jesus Christ. And it's nothing that you could ever come up with on your own. It's something that you can only have faith to believe. And if you believe that, then you receive it. So I just want to encourage anybody who's watching or listening, if you wonder about eternity, then put your faith in Christ, because that's where we know that we'll be walking into eternity with him.
Yeah, I think that's really good. I like that the gates of heaven are open. And like anyone has the opportunity to accept Jesus. It's not like it's only one group of people or this certain, you have to meet these qualifications before you can accept Jesus or anything. But, and the gate really is open. You would just accept and believe and put on what Jesus did for all of us already.
Yeah. And that's why I think that the jokes about a man dies and goes to heaven and stands before St. Peter at the pearly gates. And he says, why should I let you in? And all that stuff is inferred, but not really directly explicitly said in scripture. So even though Willie, the joke about you being a taxi driver was pretty good. Our online audience might not have heard that. It was more in the live message on Sunday that I added that in, but it was a pretty funny joke. So.
Yeah, you're welcome, by the way. So Pastor Brandon comes up to me, what was that? Probably 7 a.m.
Oh, 7:30.
And you go, how's this joke? And I go, let me find one for you.
Thank you, Willie.
You're welcome. You're very welcome. By the way, I was sitting in a 10, and when you said the joke, I appreciated that you went, thank you, and you pointed at me in the back. So.
Oh, yeah. I threw you a footnote.
Yeah. So just the acknowledgement was very much appreciated.
Oh, man.
So, you know, when we talk about things like this, it can get kind of muddy, the waters of like, okay, so you even mentioned in the past message about how like the works that we do now will be rewarded and all of that, but it's not through our own works, it's through Jesus. How do you navigate that? Okay, it's what Jesus did, but what we do now is still important.
Yeah, great question. So, what Willie's referring to, if you're not familiar, is where Jesus says, store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and vermin don't destroy, because where your treasure is, your heart will be. So Jesus alludes to this idea that you can store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. But then also throughout the New Testament, this concept of our deeds will be judged. And Corinthians refers to this idea that what every person does will be burned with fire or tested with fire, if you will. And if it's made out of precious things like gold or silver, they'll last. But if it's made up with hay and straw, it won't. So this idea that the things that we do in this life matter into eternity. Now, take that concept and pair with it this idea that anyone, if they call on the name of the Lord, will be saved. So anyone, regardless of background, regardless of the things that they've done, this means even the worst of the worst people. So think serial killers and people that have abused children and things that just make you sick to your stomach. Can these people even be saved? Like, it's not fair that they would be in heaven, some of us think. Well, it's not, but Jesus came to give grace to all. And that's what some people call the scandal of grace. It's not fair. So anyone can enter heaven. Now, does it make sense that someone who's lived a horrible life and then on their deathbed genuinely confesses Christ is welcomed into heaven? In the eyes of heaven, yes. That, I think people can make a full confession. Think about the thief on the cross, and Jesus says, today you'll be with me in paradise. Mm-hmm. Some people say, well, maybe he was, you know, a righteous man, but just got caught up there. We don't know those things. All we know is that he was a thief. So this person is in heaven. Now, nonetheless, the things that we do now definitely determine what our lives will be like in this new heaven, this new earth. So what does heavenly treasure really look like? Well, what I feel like biblical scholars are showing us is that the deeds that we do now have a connotation of what our lives in this new heaven, new earth will be. So the size of your mansion, if you will, like what you have in heaven will be determined by the things that you do here. I think hypothetically speaking, the cafeteria or the janitor worker at an elementary school who serves Jesus with his or her whole life and takes care of people and is generous and believes in Christ might be living in a huge mansion in heaven, whereas the ultra-rich tech CEO kind of person who might believe in Jesus but doesn't really follow him and those kind of things, that kind of person may or may not have a place in heaven, let alone a studio in heaven. See, that's not for me to say. Rather, it's what the authority of Scripture says, which is store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Finally, Jesus reminds us when he says, anyone who has left houses or fields or families for my sake will be paid, what, double, triple, fivefold in this life and the next. So there's this connotation that the things that we do here definitely echo into eternity. Now, someone approached me afterwards and said, Pastor, does that mean that heaven has like a class system? Because classism is one of the big issues that cause division in our world today.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a good point. But I think when the Bible talks about this heavenly treasure, this eternal reward aspect, I don't think it's really about this idea that heaven has classes, so to speak, because that refers itself to differences, division, jealousy, judgment, opportunity, privilege. I don't think heaven is like that. I think because we're in God's presence, that'll be so much more important than anything else. But rather, I do think the emphasis is more on what you do here matters. So for everyone who's saying, why do I have to follow Jesus? I can just live like whatever and then confess Jesus before I die and I go to heaven, right? It's like, maybe, but God is not mocked, right? Like you reap what you sow. And you can't live like hell and expect to go to heaven, right? And yet the grace of God is not hindered. So all that to say, the actions that we do here do matter. Store up for yourselves treasures in heaven because it's so much more important. And there is a lasting effect to that.
Yeah, I think of with that whole like class system thing, I think that the illustration of like mansions and cars and everything is like a flawed illustration because
totally,
I don't think
totally
there's going to be Lambos in heaven. But like
maybe lambs. But
yeah. Oh, what if we just get the sport the lamb? It's a convertible. But I feel like it's like a flawed illustration, but it helps us to kind of put into perspective. So I see what you're saying. But speaking on that point of, you know, do whatever you want and then at the last second accept Jesus and go up. You know, there's this verse, I'm totally blanking on where it is, but Jesus says, like, people will come and say, Lord, Lord. And he says, depart from me. I never knew you. And that, dude, that verse is terrifying, you know, because it's like you bank your whole life on like, I'm going to get in, I'm going to do whatever. And then at the end, like, oh, Jesus is Lord. And then you go up and you're like, hey, Jesus, like, you're the guy, right? And he goes, oh, I don't know you. You can't get in.
Yeah.
I mean, that verse kind of put some fear into my soul, really, of like, man, am I doing what Jesus actually called me to do? Am I doing not enough, but am I like, when I say that Jesus is Lord, Jesus is master of my life, when I say that I'm following Jesus, do I actually mean it?
Yeah. Yeah. It's a good thing to consider. You know, I think the phrase, I never knew you, is so powerful because it really draws its attention to this idea of we can do all these things for Jesus, but unless we actually have relationship, know Jesus, there's an intimacy there. Jesus talks so much more about getting ready, preparing ourselves for eternity than really even describing what it's all about. I find that so intriguing because all the actions that we do in Jesus's name, it almost feels like unless you are relying on Christ, knowing Christ, having him introspect you, operating almost like as 1 Corinthians talks about, you know, if I don't have love, but I do all these things, then it's really empty, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then we could be doing all these things, but not serving him. And I think if that strikes a chord or a fear, a healthy fear in anyone who hears, you know, depart from me, I never knew you, then it's something that should motivate us toward, okay, God, how can I not just do good things, but do things with you, for you, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I think when it comes to heaven, you know, we can finish on this idea. All this concept about heaven, right? New heaven, new earth. Are we ready for it? Are we going to be, you know, what kind of a mansion or a car am I going to drive? As I like that you're saying, Willie, it's not that as important because it isn't. It's a flawed illustration, but it more just draws itself to the idea of our actions in this life matter, right?
Mm-hmm.
The final thing that I think is takeaways for every person that we can consider, first of all, is that heaven, as we said in the message, gives us a perspective in times of trouble. Because it helps us to remember that we can fix our eyes on what is unseen, or we can fix our eyes on our current experience, what is seen.
Mm.
And, you know, the paradox of fixing our eyes on the unseen is saying, hey, just remember that there's eternal rest and reward, and there's a fulfillment that when you're sick and your body isn't working, that eternally it works in your resurrected body, right? And in our brokenness that we go through now, there's a time coming when there is no brokenness. So that's one thing. And the second thing was perseverance in times of temptation, where we can draw near to God's throne of grace, that when we go through temptation or struggle, we can actually say, you can ask for help from heaven. It's not like it's going to come down to heaven for you, brother. You can go up to the throne of grace and ask for help there, for the mercy and grace that we need. And then lastly, as we were talking about priorities for this world and the next. So I think for me, Willie, like when I think about heaven, yes, the reward and all that kind of fun stuff, but even more so, it's, man, I really hope that I'm prioritizing my life in a way that's storing up treasure in heaven, because, you know, I don't want to be, have pockets full of fun factory tokens that aren't redeemable anywhere else, you know, just be rich in this world, but not in the next. So what about you?
One, two, or three for your points. Which one do you want me to take it?
Whatever you want.
You know, I do really think that idea of like storing up treasures in heaven, just because the time that we live in is so inundated with other people's lives through social media, through TV, through YouTube, Facebook. You can't get away from other people's highlight reels. And so you see people who are living better lives than you, whether it's your friends that you know on Instagram and you're at work and they're at the beach, or someone posting surf clips when they took their family up north and surfed at Ikukai and is sending you pics of this kind of nice layback that they did.
Jerks.
You know, but he's got to bend the back arm. He's got to bend the back arm.
Back arm.
Or you're watching TV and you see like these celebrities who are building mega mansions and who have enough money to like end world hunger basically, but they're just hoarding it from themselves, and you can get like really caught up in, and this sucks, I'm not good enough, I don't have enough money, I don't have enough things, I don't have enough, like my life isn't interesting enough. But it really helps to put into perspective, especially when you're going through that of, and I don't have a car as nice as this person, or I don't have as many things as this person, or as much money or as many friends, puts it into perspective of, and this isn't what's important to me, you know? And so sometimes get caught up, I'll be scrolling through Instagram and it's like people pulling up Uluas, and they're like in their lifted Toyota, just like pulling up Uluas and just like, oh man, or all that stuff. And it's like, wait, is that really what's important to me? And it helps me to put that stuff into perspective.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think for all of us, we can relate to that in different ways. And putting into perspective is a bigger deal than we make it out to be, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, for this podcast, I hope that the time that we spend together helps to put this into perspective for you, the listener, because whatever you're going through, let's do it so with heaven in mind, knowing that it's our final place, not even a resting place per se, but rather the final place that we as souls will reign with God in the new heaven and new earth. Until then, let's live with heaven in mind, and let's order our priorities, find our hope, find our help, and make sure that we're looking to Him. I always love spending time with you guys. We're good, good stuff.
All right. Well, thanks, PB. We'll see you all next week in service. We'll see you Friday at Alive. And shakas, everybody.
Sounds good.
Shoots.